So we're back in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaching to his disciples. This is what life in the new kingdom that Jesus is bringing in looks like, and he's giving his instructions. We've looked through chapter 5 at a number of different things. We started off in what's known as the Beatitudes. This is just a classic passage of Scripture that I know many of you are familiar with. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And Jesus goes on from there. He tells the disciples that they are salt of the earth and light of the world, that they are a city on a hill that can't be hidden, that they're like a lamp that is put at a high place in a room. It's not put under a bowl where the light would be hidden. Then Jesus goes on to talk about how he's the fulfillment of the Old Testament law and how he even redefines what it means to fully live out and fulfill that law for us. And he gives us those commands as he is our Lord. He is the one that we follow. We follow in his footsteps as his disciples. So this is what Jesus is doing in the Sermon on the Mount. And today we come to chapter 6, which presents a little bit of a confusing contrast to chapter 5. Did you notice that as Ron was reading this morning? I hope you'll look down with me and read verse 1. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Jesus says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." Think about that for just a second. In light of what we saw in chapter 5, I gave you this quick summary of chapter 5, the Beatitudes, and particularly the section that begins in verse 13. You remember this? "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Do you see the contrast that we've entered into between chapter 5 and chapter 6? Chapter 5 says, "Let your light shine before others so that they can see your good deeds." But then when we get to chapter 6, verse 1, Jesus says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." So how are we supposed to understand that Jesus would say, "Let your light shine before men," and that he would also say, "Don't do your righteousness in front of people to be seen by them"? How are we supposed to put that together? There's a couple different ways I want to answer that this morning, and then we'll look at the specific examples he gives. First of all, we have the difference in subject matter. Chapter 5 lists about how we should fulfill the law, number one, by loving other people and not being angry with them, loving our enemies even at the end. It also talks about marriage and how we should remain faithful in the marriage relationship. Then it talks about how we should be people who tell the truth in all situations. Chapter 5 is detailing some situations where you can't really hide that. This is a way of life. This is the way you go about living. Jesus is telling us to love other people. Do you think he would tell you to love people in such a way that they never knew it? That wouldn't make much sense, right? "I really, really love you, but I'm never going to show it. I'm never going to tell you about it, and you're never going to see it." Doesn't quite work that way, does it? I'm always going to tell the truth, but you're never going to know if I'm telling you the truth or not, right? So Jesus is setting up a different situation. There are ways of life that the disciple community is going to live that are inevitably going to be on display for people. Do you love your enemies? That's going to be something that Jesus means for us to display to the world, that yes, we do love our enemies, that yes, our yes is yes and our no is no. I know I said yes three times in a row there. That's a little bit of tongue-tied. I was hoping Greg didn't get tongue-tied with announcements because we had Youth Stomp coming up on the 15th, but he also called Q&A Stump the Pastor. And I was hoping he didn't get those confused and turn it into Stomp the Pastor. You never know what you're going to get mixed up with when you get in there. We would have to call it in to Wednesday nights if we turned it into that. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. And Jesus says, I want people to see that. But when we get to chapter 6, the subject matter actually changes. We're going to give three different examples in Matthew chapter 6. And I want you to look down at the chapter with me so that you can see the different subject matter. First subject he's going to bring up is in verse 2. He says, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets. All right, that's the first example. Let's look at the second example. The second example is number 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners. The last example, number 3, we have to skip down a little ways for. We'll see fasting in verse 16. He says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces. And he goes on from there. He's talking about three specific religious duties that don't necessarily and intrinsically need to be done in front of other people: praying, fasting, and giving. So there are some things that we're supposed to do in the Christian life that we are supposed to keep quiet. We're supposed to keep secret. Then there are other things in the Christian life when we are supposed to broadcast that and let people know without a shadow of a doubt that, yes, we love you regardless of whether the world would consider you our enemy or not. We are going to pray for those who persecute us. It's always a difficult balance, and it's good for us to have some self-doubt and some concern to be careful. For example, last week in our church service, we had boxes over here, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, we had boxes over here, Thanksgiving baskets for families in our local community. We had over 100 Operation Christmas Child boxes up here. And you start to see that thing and you wonder, is this what Jesus is telling us that we need to be careful about? Don't hide the boxes. I mean, do hide the boxes. Don't do that. Don't show the church that we have a lot of families that we're trying to reach and touch and make sure that we are meeting their needs this summer. Should we conceal that and not let people know? It's a difficult question, and it's something that in many cases you have to go on a case-by-case basis and see, because there is always the reality that when you practice these religious acts like praying and fasting and giving, that when other people see or hear testimonies about those kinds of things, those can be a huge encouragement to the body of Christ. So if you were to see that your fellow church members had been generous in giving Thanksgiving meals, that might spur you on to good deeds. In fact, God's word tells us to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. So our hope, as we put those things on display for you, is to say, you know what? That's a great thing. That's something that I need to be involved in. These Christmas boxes that we send all over the world, that's something I need to do. When I hear about missionaries trekking over mountains to Tibet, that's something I want to be a part of. And if we can, if we don't tell you that we do those things, then you don't know to be involved in them. So there's a certain reality that we understand that you need to know what's going on. Let me give you another example: prayer. Jesus explicitly says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who pray standing in the synagogues and on street corners to be seen by others. They have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. What if all Christians only prayed alone, by themselves, in a closet? The next generation coming up would have no indication of how they should pray, why they should pray, how much they should pray. So as Jesus gives this command, we understand that he's not giving an exclusive command that you are never allowed to pray in public, else Ernie would have violated that command this morning in our worship service. I would have as I prayed to open us up. We understand that Jesus is not giving a prohibition against praying in public. And we understand that he's not giving a prohibition about giving if it's ever possible for someone to know how much you give. You know, because of the way the tax code is set up, churches have to send a year-end giving statement. So that means when you give to the church, which is a good thing to do, God blesses that. He commands us to give and to give faithfully and give generously and sacrificially. All those things he commands us to do. There's not a way for you to do it that nobody would know about it. I mean, I guess there could be, but it would be, you would really have to go, you would have to go through a lot of trouble in order to accomplish that. We have to send, we have to know how much you give so we can send you a statement at the end of the year and stuff like that. But you could read this and say, well, I can't do that then because someone would know how much I give. I can't give to a charity. I can't mail them a check because then somebody's going to read the check and say how much I give. Jesus says, don't do that. But that's not really what Jesus is saying here. There is a key phrase that happens in each one of these statements, and even in the introductory statement in verse 1, that is the key to understanding what Jesus is telling us. Look down with me back again at verse 1. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. He says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Look at the end of verse 2, toward the end of verse 2. He says, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Let's look at prayer. Prayer, verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, to be seen by others. And fasting. Do not look somber as the hypocrites do. This is verse 16. For they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, you have received their reward in full. You have received your reward in full. If you do this, to be seen by others. This is the key to understanding what Jesus tells us to do in secret and what to broadcast publicly. Because if you'll notice in chapter 5, Jesus says in verse 16, Matthew 5, 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify who? Your Father in heaven. See, there's a vast difference between chapter 5 and chapter 6. Because chapter 5, our good deeds and our righteousness are broadcast with a heart of allowing God to receive the glory for it. Whereas in chapter 6, we do it with a heart that we would receive glory for it. Look at me. Look at how much I pray. Look at my beautiful prayers. Look how much money I give. Look how much I fast and how religious I am. In fact, these three different examples are the three key elements of first century Jewish piety. If you were a good Jewish believer during the first century, during the time of Jesus, you would pray, you would fast, and you would give to the needy. Those were the three things that they said. These are the most important things for someone who's going to follow the Old Testament to do. Of course, they didn't call it the Old Testament, but you know what I mean. Praying, fasting, giving. And Jesus uses these three different religious expressions and says, if you are doing these things in order to be seen by others, rather than to bring glory to God, your Father in heaven, then you have received your reward. I read a great article last night, just happened to come through my Twitter feed about this, and I had to use the illustration. A guy named Garrett Kell, he's a pastor up in Northern Virginia. It was an article at the Gospel Coalition website. And he said that we love to photobomb Jesus. That's what we love to do. Instead of Jesus getting the glory, instead of him being the center of attention, we love to peek our head around him and make sure that we're in the shot too. And this is exactly what Jesus is telling us his disciples don't do. We are not a photobombing people when it comes to Jesus. We want him to receive all the glory and honor and praise, and we are content to receive none of it from people. Let me give you an example. This one. About 4 years ago, in January, I went up to the SBC of Virginia building up in close to Richmond, Virginia, and they brought in a speaker who this year, the speaker happened to be Tom Elliff, who was the president of the International Mission Board, IMB being the organization that we're supporting through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. They are the organization that sends out our 4,000 missionaries all across the world. President of the IMB, this is great. I was excited. I was like, can we take a picture and I'll bring it back home and show it to my church to say, I can show everybody that, hey, I met the president of the IMB and you guys can be excited about it. And, you know, but as we were taking the picture, you can see, oh, went too far. I hope I don't have a, here you go. See him back there? This guy thought he was going to be funny, photobomb, be in the back of the picture. And I got the picture back. I didn't get it back. You don't get pictures back today, do you? When I got my phone back, I looked at the picture later, and I was like, oh my goodness, this guy's in the back giving a thumbs up. It's completely distracting. I can't even use the picture now. Now I can use it because it's an illustration, right? You know what it... Y'all know what photobomb means, right? Anybody who doesn't know what photobomb means, it's when you get in the back and you do something to distract from what's really going on in the picture. Yeah, so yeah, something like that. You can photobomb a selfie. It's possible to do. I've done that sometimes. And sometimes in life, it's funny to do. Now, you don't really want to do it when somebody's trying to take a more serious picture like this that I wanted to bring and show you. Oh, cool. We got to meet Tom Eliff. David Platt's the new president of the IMB since Dr. Eliff retired. But anyway, that's what we do to Jesus. God put Jesus in the world to be the light of the world, to be the one that we would all point to, the one that we would all get out of the picture frame and say, everybody else, look at him. But in Jesus' day, instead of all the glory going to God, people would say, I'm about to give a lot of money. There's different legends about maybe people would take it, they would drop it in a pot outside. Maybe they would shake the bag of money so everybody could hear how much was in it. Jesus gives the example of blowing trumpets to announce that there's a lot of giving going on. Which that's probably hyperbole. We don't know of any instances of actual trumpets being blown to announce a large financial gift. Or maybe you're giving to someone who's poor, maybe somebody that's begging on the side of the road, which was a common thing to happen in that day. They didn't have, there were some elements in place of what we would call a welfare system through the synagogue, but not like what we have today. So it was common for people to stand around and ask for money, you know, for you to stand back and kind of look at which of the needy people really appreciate a lot of giving. And then, oh, I'm going to go give to that person so that they, oh, thank you, sir. Thank you so much. This is, I really appreciate how much money you've given. This is so, so good. And you're just trying to subtly think of ways so that other people's attention would be turned on you, that you would receive the glory for it. That's what he's saying. Don't do that. Don't give to be honored by others. Don't pray so that other people would be impressed by you. By the way, we're going to take a section of this passage on prayer, the Lord's Prayer, that happens in verses 9 through 13. We're going to cover that next week. So we're not skipping that. We're bracketing that for right now, okay? So we can see these three different examples that Jesus has given. Don't go on the street corners and pray these loud, elaborate, long prayers so that everyone's so impressed with your religiosity. And don't fast. This one's kind of, look down at this one with me. He says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show they are fasting. Can you imagine somebody really doing that? You would be like, oh my goodness. Yeah, I would have very little tolerance for somebody that was walking around like, oh, I'm fasting. I'm so hungry. It's been days since I've eaten. Don't disfigure your faces. Instead, here's what he tells you to do. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face. Now, this was regular personal hygiene during this day. Basically, what Jesus is saying is don't look any different than you normally do. But a little historical note here. I just found it very fascinating. I mean, I understand washing your face, but put oil on your head. I'm glad I didn't live back then. I mean, can you imagine like getting ready in the morning? Okay, let me put some oil on my head. Like, what is that about? It's strange to us, but that's first century. That's Jesus just saying, don't do anything out of the normal. Don't let people know that you're fasting. Now, you can take this overboard. For example, I've had friends that are fasting. We'll go to like a pastor's meeting, and they'll like sit there at the restaurant and not order any food. and you're like, what's up? Did you already eat or something? And they're like, no. You're like, okay, well, what's going on? And they're like, I'm fasting, but I'm not supposed to say it. It's like in certain circumstances, Jesus is not opposed to you letting people know. In fact, if you were to know that some of your friends practice fasting on a regular basis, that might even encourage you. You know, maybe that's something I ought to try. It all has to do with the heart. Is this done so that your goodness and your righteousness are broadcast and impressed with you? So that you are seeking the approval of people? Or is your heart more set on the approval of God? And that is ultimately the issue that's at stake in our text here today. These are three examples of pursuing secret righteousness. These are things that we can normally do behind the scenes, without everybody knowing, that we can really do to pursue God. I mean, one good test for you, for example, do you pray more in front of people so that people will know about it? Or do you actually go into your prayer closet or living room or office and actually spend active time in prayer where nobody knows about it other than God? It's a great test for where is our heart in doing these things. This is what Jesus is telling us. You can do all of these things for an audience of the people around you. Or you can do all of these things for an audience of one, God Himself. And here's the pattern that he uses. It's the exact same pattern in all three of these examples. He says, do not do your righteousness this way, and if you do, you have received your reward in full. But this is what I tell you you should do. You should not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. You should go into the closet where no one knows you're praying. You should... Let's see. Oh, I turned the wrong page. When you're fasting, you should look just like you do at all other times. And then when God knows, when you are playing to His audience and His audience only, you will have treasures built up in heaven. You will receive your reward from God rather than people. If you want the audience of people and impressing them, you can have that, Jesus says, and that's all you'll have. Or you can live to impress your heavenly Father, who will give you far greater rewards, far more lasting rewards than what you will ever receive by the applause of your fellow human beings. It fits well with what Jesus goes on to say next. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where everything is so temporary. Instead, build up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. Jesus is saying there's a reward that God is going to give for Jesus' faithful disciples who don't live to impress other people, but live to God alone. In fact, this is what I want to most impress on you this morning, is that in life, there is a temptation for all of us, because of our sinful natures fighting through, to live to impress other people. Theologians have a word for this, a term for this. It's more than one word. It's a term called the fear of man. The fear of man. I don't mean the fear of men, like you're afraid of the male gender. I mean the fear of man, mankind, of humans. And the fear of man, what it does is it says, everybody around me needs to think well of me. And I'm hurt if they don't. And my value and my goodness and my emotional well-being is all going to be wrapped up in what other people think of me. And if other people think well of me, then I'm doing great. I'm popular, I'm settled, I'm at peace. But when other people think poorly of me, think bad of me, then I've got to fix that. I'm at war within myself. I'm not at peace because I fear what other people think more than I fear what God thinks of me. This is an aspect in our hearts of idolatry. that we have to put God's opinion first above all other things. I want you to know that there are many of you in this room that are concerned about what other people think of you. Even as I say that, some of you have people that come to your minds and you say, what that person thinks of me is so important to me. They could devastate you if they thought poorly of you, or they could make your day if you knew they thought well of you. And that's idolatry. That's something that we need to repent of. Here's the reality. If you find your value and your peace in what another person thinks of you, then there are only two results of that. Number one is that they don't approve of you. And there's no way to recover because that's something you can't control, what they think of you. So maybe they disapprove of you and you're devastated. Or number two, they do approve of you and suddenly you're satisfied in something other than the approval of God, which is idolatry. So if you are living, and all of us do at some level, at a place where you are struggling with the fear of man, what I want you to do is to see this passage that talk when Jesus says, if you live for the approval of other people, when you finally receive that, that's an empty, transient thing. It's fleeting. It's going to go away, and it's not even that good when you finally attain it. But if you live for my approval, according to my commands, I will take you and use your life in a way that's far, far more powerful than you've ever imagined, in far greater ways than you ever would by playing to the audience of the people around you. You need to know that God loves you. And in Christ, He has accepted you for who you are. He's covered your sins with the blood of Jesus if you've received Christ. You are secure in Him. You don't have to impress everybody around you. Your value is not tied to that. And there may be times when a lot of people around you in life don't like you for different reasons. And you can say, you know what? I wish they did. It always feels better when people like you and appreciate you and accept you. There's no doubt about that. I wish they did. But I have the approval of God Himself that is going to last forever, that I don't have to worry about if it's going to change tomorrow. I will not live in the fear of man. I'm not going to do my righteousness in front of everybody else because I don't care what they think. That's what you need to say sometimes. Now, there's ways that you should care what people think, like wear deodorant and things like that. We all understand that, right? I'm not saying you go off and be socially awkward and treat people poorly. You know, I can punch people in the face because I don't care what they think. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the ways that we seek approval in others and find our value there, we've got to repent and turn away from that and say, God, I belong to you and that's all that I need. And Jesus says, then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. The reality is we need to quit chasing after the rewards of this world and make sure that we are pleasing God Himself. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the tough word that Jesus spoke and is recorded for us in this passage. I thank you that it challenges me and that it challenges every person in this room to evaluate the reason that we do the things we do. Those of us who have been believers maybe for many years, we know the things that we ought to do, and we know the things people expect us to do. And God, may you take out of our minds and hearts the desire to do these things to impress other people. and to remember that your approval is a million times more important than what the person sitting next to us or across the room from us or our coworker or our friends or our family thinks, that we belong to you, that you loved us when we were still sinners. So now that we've become your children, how much more, how much greater is the love that you've lavished on us in Christ? So God, I know that there are people here today who are struggling in some ways with insecurity and the approval of other people. God, and I pray that you would reassure them that your approval is far greater and far more important, and that you would turn their hearts and eyes away from that desire. God, help us to rest in you and in you alone, to say that we have learned to be content whatever the circumstances, that we can do all things through Christ. He's the one who gives us strength. He's the one that gives us purpose and meaning and value in this life, and not the opinions of others. So God, we thank you that you have rescued us, that you hold us, and that you don't let us go. Help us to rest in that promise today, in Jesus' name. Amen.